A second candidate files as a write-in for the Skagway Assembly. And findings from mountain goat and bear studies near Haines and Skagway are set to be presented. It's the Cage Nest Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Skagway's pool of candidates for borough assembly is a little bigger. Dewey McCracken is now one of two people running for two open seats. McCracken filed as a write-in candidate today. He's a longtime Skagway resident who graduated from the local high school and has held several jobs around town. McCracken is now retired and says the assembly could benefit from having a retiree at the dais.
I don't have any axe to grind as far as who I work for or what business I'm in or anything like that. So maybe my point of view might be a different point of view and maybe a little sobering senior outlook on some questions.
McCracken says he is also interested in improving public safety.
I think that maybe we need to take a good hard look at how we approach security for not only the local residents, but the visitors and the summer workers.
One other Skagway resident is on the ballot for assembly. Dan Henry resigned from his position in the local government last year in order to report to federal prison. Henry was sentenced on federal tax charges last summer. Mark Schaefer is running for a third two-year mayoral term. He is currently unopposed. Four residents have put their name in for two open seats on the school board. Cheshire Doxy Leopold, Heather Rodig, and Denise Sager have filed for the positions. Kara Cosgrove is running for re-election. The deadline to file as a write-in candidate in Skagway is September 29th. The municipal election will be held October 3rd. Wildlife studies likely to influence Haines heliskiing and Skagway helicopter tourism will be ready for public release in a few weeks. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Alaska fish and game biologists who have been studying mountain goat and brown bear habitat in the Upper Lynn Canal will present their findings to Haines residents in early September. Anthony Krupe is the bear researcher. He has conducted aerial surveys each spring starting in 2015. He looks for brown bear dens among the mountain peaks of the Chilkat Valley.
It's really interesting surveying for dens from the air. So you end up with a search image, and that image typically is muddy paw prints. And then you track those muddy paw prints back, and it's usually not too far away that you'll find where the bear has excavated into the soil. And as they emerge from their den, they make a track from where that den actually was.
Krupe has discovered more than 80 dens in the Chilkat Valley. Using those locations, he's able to draw conclusions about what spots area bears are likely to choose for dens.
A couple of the important things that have come out of it are that there's particular slopes and elevations that brown bears select when they choose their dens. There's also an amount of vegetation that they associate with their den sites. Those are some of the key factors that brown bears are selecting.
State biologists are also working on an extensive mountain goat habitat study. Lead researcher Kevin White has tracked about 70 Upper Lynn Canal mountain goats using GPS radio collars. Like Krupe, he's using that data to predict what areas mountain goats are likely to use as habitat. White's work is aimed at informing heliskiing decisions in Haines and helicopter tourism management in Skagway.
So that product will provide a data-rich resource for land use decision makers for deciding appropriate areas for various land management activities, including helicopter skiing.
These pending wildlife studies played a role last year in the work of a Haines Heliski Map Committee. The committee was tasked with reviewing two heliski companies' requests for ski boundary changes. The committee met many times and often had questions about how changing boundaries could impact wildlife.
You know, there'd be a lot of questions to us like, okay, so what if we change the boundary here? How's that going to affect mountain goats, for example, or brown bear denning habitat? And, you know, we were always a little bit hamstrung in our ability to really provide good information because we're like, well, we haven't completed our analyses yet.
Ultimately, the Haines Assembly postponed heliski map changes to this summer. The group decided to put it off because the mountain goat and bear studies were not complete. White has been working on the mountain goat project since 2010. He plans to continue the research for at least another 3 years. But he says there's enough data to present the results so far and give land managers better information to work with. White and Krupe will share their findings at 2 meetings in Haines. The first is a town hall on September 10th at 6 p.m. in the Chilcat Center. That will be a broad overview. The second is a joint meeting of the Assembly and 2 advisory committees that have worked on heliskiing issues. That gathering is September 11th at 6 p.m. White says the conversation there will delve more into how the research can be utilized in land management decisions. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A potentially harmful pathogen called spruce bud blight has now been identified in Sitka. The fungus first appeared on the Kenai Peninsula in 2013 and has since been found in many locations around the state. Researchers with the Forest Service are trying to determine how widespread spruce bud blight has become and what kind of threat, if any at all, it represents for southeast forests. KCIW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Spruce bud blight is a known killer of trees, but it hasn't killed any trees in North America yet. The Forest Service found the fungus in 2013 on the Kenai Peninsula. 3 years later, molecular geneticists sequenced the gene and compared it to known forest pathogens. The results were a wake-up call.
The match was to specimens that were part of a paper published in 2016 from the Czech Republic.
Robin Mulvey is a pathologist with the Forest Health Protection Office in Juneau. She spoke recently at a lunchtime meeting of the Sitka Ranger District staff.
And that was a pretty alarming match because that paper describes outbreaks of this disease on Colorado blue spruce in the Czech Republic leading to major plantation failure. So now we know that it's a disease that is potentially a tree killer. And we know that at least one North American spruce is highly susceptible to it.
But there are 2 main things we don't know about spruce bud blight, scientific name Gemmomyces picea. The first is, how widely distributed is it? The second, has it been here all along and simply no one ever identified it? Answering the first question as a matter of logistics, the Forest Service has found the fungus from Kenai to Fairbanks. Now the agency is taking a close look at southeast. Mulvey and her colleague, entomologist Liz Graham, have spent a lot of time on the road.
So we've been sampling mostly in Juneau, but we also have monitoring plots on Zarembo Island, Wrangell Island, Mitkoff, Kuprinoff, Skagway, Haines, and now here in Sitka. That's what we're, Ketchikan. Yep, that's the work that we're doing here this week. We're just installing these very simple plots, and we're not actually monumenting the plots in any way other than collecting a GPS point at the plot center, but they're 50-foot radius plots, and we're looking at every tree in the plot and assessing it for both spruce aphid and bud blight.
So far, Mulvey has found spruce bud blight in every community she surveyed, with the exception of Ketchikan. Nevertheless, there's really not much of it. In Sitka Starrigavin Valley, she found it on only 2 trees. The second question, was Gemmomyces picea here all along, is more complicated, and it's part of the reason the Forest Service is not going to war on spruce blight. The highest concentration of infection that Mulvey has ever seen was on a blue spruce in Juneau. A resident bought the tree from Home Depot as an ornamental for the yard. When it didn't thrive, she threw it behind a shed where it developed a major blight infection. Mulvey found some blight in Sitka spruce trees near the shed, but she doesn't know if the blue spruce was the carrier of the disease or the victim of an infection that local trees are resistant to.
One thing that I think a lot of people don't know is that it can be really difficult to determine if something so small as a fungus is native or not, if it could have just been missed before. Maybe it's always been here and just not noticed.
And spruce bud blight is difficult to notice on otherwise healthy trees. A normal bud is golden brown and eventually will break out into a spruce tip, which many Sitkans harvest for flavoring, syrup, or beer. Infected buds turn black and wither. Mulvey shows the group a specimen from Starrigavin.
This main bud and shoot is dead. And it's not only dead, but it's dead and curled over.
Mulvey describes her office's work right now as information gathering. Spruce bud blight is just one of many potentially harmful pathogens and invasives the Alaska Forest Health Protection Office monitors. Mulvey says it may take an inoculation study across all North American species of spruce to determine the risks that blight poses. In the meantime, once she and Graham finish their distribution study this summer, Mulvey says we'll be asking a lot more questions. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.